Greetings, Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies Second Reel. This episode, we are bringing back longtime Second Reel podcasting guest, Joe Neff, in regards to the 29th annual 24-hour horror... No, bleh, the 29th annual 24-hour Ohio Science Fiction Marathon. These titles have gotten longer and longer each year.
Am I officially a mainstay now of the podcast?
You've been in here...
A recurring character?
Several times, yeah.
Or a recurring guest spot. How about that?
You're like...
And starring and featuring Joe Neff. Yeah.
Featuring Joe Neff. Yeah, well, no, but you show up every night, and we keep getting... We get hits all the time. We still get hits for the Horror Marathon podcast we did back in October. So
I am just that charismatic. What can I say?
God knows why people want to know what did play.
I have no idea. I wouldn't. That's for sure.
But I like to have you on every time we have a marathon. And we're bringing you in, even though you're not officially in charge of the Sci-Fi Marathon. Is it officially the Sci-Fi Marathon or the Science Fiction Marathon? I know that's sort of a trek or trekkie.
Oh, God, yeah. Harlan Ellison would probably have someone's head for saying sci-fi.
Harlan Ellison would have somebody's head for
this
a bad
is true.
Egg
yeah,
salad sandwich.
I don't know. I try to officially refer to it as science fiction.
Okay.
With a little Harlan in the back of my head yelling at me. Yeah.
The Science Fiction Marathon.
Harlan, if you're listening, please. We're on the up and up, or someone's on the up and up. I don't know.
But you're not officially in charge of it. You're just kind of stepping in for the other.
For clarity's sake, yeah. For any of you out there in Fat Guy podcast land who might be wondering, yeah. I, as many of you know, or as maybe some of you know who are listening to this, I officially co-plan the annual horror marathon, the 24-hour horror marathon.
You're
the
host organism for that.
I am the co-host organism. I am one half of the two-headed marathon monster, along with my partner in crime, Bruce Bartu, who is the godfather of the Columbus Marathons, the guy who brought him to town. Science Fiction Marathon is basically still Bruce's baby. He would have been here today, but he's busy planning all sorts of awful things for the marathon and plotting in his lair in an undisclosed location.
But are you still host organism for this, or you're the masters of ceremonies?
Oh
for
boy,
them?
Yeah. For science fiction, I'm more of a piece of mold that gets stuck on the bottom of a seat about five rows back.
So if the sci-fi marathons are the science fiction marathons,
the science fiction marathons
are Bruce's baby,
the SF marathons.
You're the wet nurse.
Yeah.
Official wet
nurse. Pretty much, yeah,
for the science fiction.
I watch as the baby comes out, and this is going to get back into Serbian film now. I don't want to have any more of it. In any case, so I was basically appointed the spokesman for the revolution for science fiction this year, and I get to say the good stuff about the marathon and say as much as I know, which sometimes I get on here and I say, I don't know about how this is going to go, and I do know, or I just don't want to say anything.
You lie.
I legitimately don't know a lot of what's going to go on, but I can give you at least a good testimony for why you should come and what's going on, what's been going on.
Good. Well, first of all, the dates are noon Saturday, May 19th through noon Sunday, May 20th
at
the Drexel Theater,
yes,
2254 East Main Street in Columbus, Ohio. It's $35 in advance, which is actually still a great deal. In perspective, if you were to have gone and seen the Marvel's Assemble Avengers Marathon prior to the Avengers opening last week, it was, 40? It was like 40 or 45 bucks for...
The standard, the average was about 40 bucks.
Yeah, for six films and then the midnight premiere of the Avengers. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, I mean, it was marketed specifically for that and you got to see the Avengers. But this is going to be at least 10... Or 11 films.
Yeah. Plus trailers and shorts, plus contests, plus sitting in a theater for an entire rotation of the planet with scents of all kinds and people of all kinds and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a bargain, I would say. And it's the one thing I think we've tried to do over the years between science fiction, you know, on Bruce's end, but also on the horror marathon, is to try to keep it as affordable as we can.
And that's great, too.
Yeah, and it gets tough because, I mean, in this day and age, it's tougher to book 35mm prints of films. Yeah. And it's, you know, there is a difference between having that and just showing a bunch of Blu-rays in a theater.
Because let's face it, we're not at the point where they're sending archival satellite downloads of... 2K
well, yeah, that, I mean, that's the big controversy right now is what will happen in the future with that. I mean, it's the whole 35mm versus digital debate. And, you know, they do some wonderful restorations of classic titles, things everybody will see. I mean, you know, the Turner Classics Festival will do a 4K restoration of Casablanca.
Yeah.
And it looks great. Sunset Boulevard, it looks great. Taxi Driver, I saw a 4K restoration a couple years ago. Looked fantastic. But, you know, like for the lineup for Sci-Fi this year, how many people are going to do a 4K restoration of Reptilicus?
Well, I mean,
and make it
should.
Readily available. Yeah, yeah. I will say I've heard some rumbling from at least one or two studios about 4K restorations of titles that are a little more cultish than you'd think. But, yeah. I mean, even those are things that have a definite appeal to a crowd. You know, it's like Rocky Horror would have an appeal to a crowd. I wouldn't be shocked if Fox...
There's an ongoing revenue stream.
Yeah. Whereas 35mm, there's such a rich history of it that you still have prints that are playable and in good shape of obscure films, films that fall through the cracks, films that aren't even... that you or I wouldn't think would be that obscure.
Yeah.
But... whether they make that transition, that's a dicey proposition. Because someone somewhere is going to say, oh, well, you know, Casablanca, yeah, we'll do that because everybody will pay to see that. But Reptilicus or, you know, something like The Green Slime, perfect example, showing at this year's marathon.
Well, let's dive into that. So here you go. It's $35. Let's get the paperwork out of the way. Just so you know, it's $35 in advance, $40 at the door. Go to scifimarathon.com.
Mm-hmm.
They probably should change it to Science Fiction Marathon to appease Harlan Ellison. But go to scifimarathon.com and you can order online.
You can order through. You should be able to order through a PayPal link that we have.
You can go to is Laughing Ogre in Columbus still selling?
Laughing Ogre still has them. Always very stalwart supporters of the marathon. So thank you to the Ogre and his wonderful ways.
Yeah, and you can buy them at the Drexel too.
Yeah.
Is that it? Is there any other venues to buy them?
Last I checked, according to the press release, I think that was it.
Okay. So that's how you can get there. You can buy them at the door. It may or may not sell out, but you don't want to be coming in at 2 o'clock buying a ticket and finding a seat.
No. Well, and that's the thing is the last couple of years, attendance has been healthy. It hasn't been to sellout status. Mm-hmm. But we've had people come in I've had friends who've come in at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's fairly packed. I mean, even for not selling out all the way, it tends to have a lot of clusters of people together already. So it's something where you want to be there in advance. And part of the fun too is standing in line, even if it's only for 20 minutes, experiencing that, you know, the anticipation of it and meeting up with people that you might not know or that you see once a year. That
last year, what was funny is last year I brought my son Liam. And because I do film critic stuff, I do movie screenings. They actually had a screening of Kung Fu Panda at 10 a.m. that I had to go to Kung Fu Panda 2. And I had to go see that at 10 o'clock at the Lenox, which is in Columbus. And it wasn't that long of a drive from the Lenox. It's like 10 minutes from the Lenox to the Drexel. So we watched Kung Fu Panda 2, which is about an hour and a half. And then we got in the car and we drove there. And we got there a little bit before noon. And I can't remember whether we had to wait in line at all. I think we got in right away. But it was tough to find even just two seats.
Yeah.
We kind of sat in the corner in the back. So we're going to try. Hopefully there's no press screenings for me. So I'll be there early.
Well, thank God.
But my son and I, we kind of got stuck in the back, which was okay. But it's kind of a, you don't get your pick of seats. It's not like the old Drexel North where you can walk in and it's 800 seats.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You got a good shot.
Well, and it's one of the cool things about the marathon that continues is, you know, the old Drexel North days, you'd have the line wrapping around the theater outside waiting to get in, even with those 800 seats.
Yeah.
And the fact that there's still a really solid contingent of people who will show up, and for science fiction and horror, that there's still a line down the block waiting to get in.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, if you really think about it, anyone could show up around the time the doors open, come in. I mean, if everybody was thinking that way, like, well, we could just show up. It's not like, and anymore, we try to open the doors at least, you know, 45 minutes, an hour beforehand.
Yeah.
But the fact that people still stand in line, I mean, it's a testament, I think, in part to the fact that they really like being there. And there's always the hardcore crowd that shows up at 7 in the morning to get in there first. But the people
behind I'm not even awake at 7 in the morning.
Yeah, yeah. I tried that.
24 hours.
I tried that, I think, twice in all my years of marathon going. And
it's been a while.
I've weakened ever since then.
I can't do the 24 hours. What's funny is last year I went with my son Liam. It was his first marathon. He fell in love with it. And then, of course, he went to the horror marathon. He skipped out in the middle of the late night programming. We had to send him home a little bit for. But we were, and I remember sitting there, and the lineup was, it was all this great stuff. And then there was like, I think it was, you had Buckaroo Banzai, and then I think it was Iron Man after Buckaroo Banzai. And then it was like.
Okay, it was Buck, and the fact that I know this is probably a damning indictment against me in general.
Just from
it
Buckaroo
was
Banzai.
Buckaroo Banzai, followed by Late for Dinner, okay. The other W.D. Richter film,
followed
by People vs. George Lucas, the documentary, Lunopolis, the faux documentary about moon landing, and then Planet of the Vampires.
When I started following.
Yeah.
And then it was Iron Man, Gila Monster, Troll Hunter. Right?
And it's a shame. Yeah, it's such a shame because Planet of the Vampires is a really gorgeous film.
It was great. It was on Instant when I came home. Uh-huh. I watched the rest of it on it because I fell asleep. It's funny because then it hit Iron Man and I'm like, okay, I've seen Iron Man like 17 times.
Yeah.
Gila Monster, I've seen a billion times. And I really want to see Troll Hunter, but I'm like, ugh, I got to sit through 4 hours. And I turned 40 this past year. So I'm just like, I lead over to my son and I'm like, do you want to go? No. We're staying the whole time. And I'm like,
now that is dedication.
And I was like, oh shit.
I remember when it was really easy to do that. And even for me now, I'm getting to that point where I guess it's part of the fun is the endurance aspect of it really gets emphasized the older you get because of what you said. Yeah. Because I've had so many instances where the toughest thing to stay awake for is a film that I want to see that's after one or two films that I've seen a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And which is weird because when I was a teenager, when I first started attending these, I couldn't stay awake for jack shit. I mean, I have horrible memories of times when I'm standing in the back of the old Drexel North violently trying to stay awake going, no, I'll stand up and not stand against anything and falling down because I'm so tired. And now I could do it easier, but it's like you said, it's if you've seen Iron Man a few times, that's part of the endurance. I guess it's like how the event evolves with you is, can I survive this? Can I actually gut my way through if there's a film that I've seen a bunch of times or that, you know, I've seen recently? And
it's tough.
But it's fun. I mean, and that's part of it too, is trying to figure out, okay, how can I do this? And I think part of the coolness of that aspect of the marathon too is that there are films sometimes where you'll run into that situation where it's, oh, I've seen this a bunch of times.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can stay awake for it. And you'll watch it, and all of a sudden, you'll gain a new appreciation for that film.
Yeah.
Or it'll play totally different with the marathon crowd. So it's those unexpected surprises that really, they pay off, and it makes it so worthwhile to try to stay for that.
The only one I've ever actually stayed awake through the whole thing that I haven't dozed off at all during was 1994. Sci-fi.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The Thing.
Oh, wait. 94 was...
The Thing. It's got the thing.
Thing was 1991.
Was it maybe 91?
Was The Thing and The Thing. Thing at the beginning.
Which had the thing, the John Carpenter thing as the no, it wasn't 94 because I was way too young. I was older. I was in college.
1991.
It was 91.
Opened with Howard Hawks as The Thing, closed with the Carpenter Thing. And
that's one that I stayed awake through the whole thing. That's the only one.
Yeah.
I always end up dozing off in something.
Yeah.
Whether I want to or not.
And it's so odd to think of what lineup you'll stay awake for. Because I've had lineups between marathons I've been to and in Columbus and ones in Boston, and I go to the Cleveland one sometimes. There are lineups where I've managed to stay awake through the whole thing, even though beforehand I think, I don't know if I'll like this that much. Whereas there are lineups where I go in thinking, oh, I am so hardcore excited for this, and it hits 1 a.m. and I'm bombing out because of one reason or the other. So.
Well, several years ago they had, you guys had, I think it was Big Man Japan.
Oh, yeah, the 2008 marathon. That was the first marathon I ever left early from, and there were other reasons too. I mean, I had some stuff going on in my normal non-marathon life, believe it or not, I don't just sit in Marathon Central all year and
making out schedules.
Three quarters of the year, but the whole year, no.
Dodgers will go at this point, it'll be perfect.
You talk about addictions, but I mean, it's great, and I think that's one of the reasons the marathons continued throughout the years is, when you're young and you start going like your son Liam is, it's a really just cool event. I mean, even today with all the options young people have for entertainment, it's just a unique event to go to. But as you get older, and especially for those of us who've gone for a long time, it's this appreciation of something that's still kind of odd, but still very enjoyable. And that at this point, especially for like you and me, because we've been going long enough, part of it invariably gets back to a nostalgia factor. Yeah. I mean, I remember when we did the resurrection of the 24-hour horror marathon 3 years ago at the Grandview. Yeah. And I stayed awake the whole time, and one of the reasons I stayed awake was because I thought back to the two horror marathons I went to at the Drexel North and how I fell asleep during the last one through like half the films.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm not falling asleep. I might never get this opportunity again. And it's what made part of it fun. There was a real sense of accomplishment. So that evolution is... is always interesting.
It's funny, my wife and I, we're training for two totally different marathons.
Yeah.
I'm training for this. She did the quarter marathon last week.
Oh, yeah,
Cap City
yeah.
quarter marathon.
Yeah.
All that bullshit running going on. Now, I mean, can she stay up for 24 hours? I don't think so.
Yeah, that's much harder. Half marathon, you're done in 2 hours. Yeah, you know? You get to go home and collapse.
Nothing.
Marathon? And you have fresh air the whole time.
Yeah, what is that all about?
And light.
There's probably an equal amount of sweat, though.
Probably, yeah. Not that I want to give the audience a bad name or anything.
But please shower before you come.
It is nice, yeah. Yeah.
Just
common sense. Yeah.
Let's get into the movies here. First one is the big one. This is, would this be considered a sort of a keystone one, is the Battle Royale?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, it's Battle Royale, if you know anything about it. I mean, it has such a checkered, colored history in trying to get an official U.S. release.
R-rated Japanese Hunger Games.
Yeah, yeah, pretty, and yeah, it's what a great year to finally release it when that concept is way more mainstream than it was 12 years ago. But it's definitely, I would think, a major event in international cinema, even though, you know, it's like so many things today. If someone wanted to see it in the last 12 years, they could find it. Yeah, Netflix, DVD, somewhere else like that. But it's cool to finally have it get a real official release through Anchor Bay and a theatrical rollout to say...
But it's not 35.
No, it is on Blu-ray. And Anchor Bay, to the best of my knowledge, only did a Blu-ray release. Probably because they thought, oh, hey, it's, you know, it's been around so long.
Yeah.
It's not prudent for us to spend that much money. Although I don't want to speak officially for Anchor Bay, so if any of you are out there,
because it's Blu-ray, I know one of the big questions that's been floating around the message board is: are they doing the director's cut or theatrical cut or Japanese theatrical?
I have no idea.
You don't know what they're going
to play? As the official spokesman for the Revolution, I can't tell you, and I really have no idea at this
point. You're not just lying at this point.
No, I'm not actually lying. I know. It might seem like I have that same dulcet tone that says, "Oh yeah, he has this practiced." But
is it that big of a difference? I mean, because I don't know. I think what I watched on Blu-ray was when I rented the DVD a while back from Netflix, it was just because it had flashback sequences and stuff like that mm-hmm. I believe are what indicates it as the director's cut. I mean, it's not like it's not a different movie.
I don't know. Okay. Again, I'm a horrible representative for this because I saw Battle Royale about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen it since. When they first talked about it, I thought, well, I'll wait till the marathon. So I'm not sure. I'm guessing that sometime before the marathon, there'll be some word on that.
Yeah.
Or maybe hoping. But
I will say this, at least for the Drexel, doing their digital projection looks pretty good off of Blu-ray.
It does. I will give them full credit. The last couple of years, the Blu-ray projection has looked good. And I'm pretty critical about video projection at the marathons.
Even Cargo, which I believe was DVD.
I think that was standard def, yeah.
And it still looked pretty doggone good.
It did. And it's, you know, films like that that are pretty dark in tone and you know, the color palette that they have and the lighting scheme, you know, they obviously benefit pretty well from that. When they showed Ink a couple of years ago on, I think, on DVD, it looked fine because it's so stylized.
Yeah.
But even some of the more realistic films, which Battle Royale, I'm assuming, is going to be a good test of that, they've looked good. So yeah, it's
hard to not get that sort of that overly low contrast washed out, which I think kind of happened a little with the horror marathon a couple of years ago with I Sell the Dead. That scene, I think I always thought that looked a little bit pale.
It's very hard. And you know, and for an instance like the horror marathon of that year when we were dealing with,
so there's a lot of
I think like a rented a theater that wasn't quite open yet officially, a projector that we had to rent for the event.
Yeah.
I will say last year I think that, what did we show on Blu-ray? Midnight Sun we showed on Blu-ray.
That looked pretty decent.
I was pleasantly surprised.
I'm more interested, not as much the resolution, because the resolution is going to be there. It's the contrast and the color.
Yeah.
The color balance.
Yeah.
And I thought that looked good. Midnight Sun I thought looked good. And I thought the Drexel projection looked really good last year.
And you have to at this point, because it's getting so tough. You know, even in cases sometimes where there is a 35mm print of a new film, studios occasionally won't want to release that unless you're a festival.
Yeah.
And we've had that between science fiction and horror. I've heard so many cases of a studio saying, well, we'll give you the Blu-ray, but we really have to reserve our one print, which is reasonable.
I can understand that.
But yeah, to have the ability to play a good Blu-ray image is good. But, you know, you hope as much as you can to get some kind of 35mm representation.
Yeah.
It's ironic, actually, that Battle Royale is a Blu-ray presentation because Green Slime...
That's the next one, because we're talking projection.
We're just transitioning all over the place
here.
Boy, Green Slime has been...
35 doesn't even exist for that, does it?
Between the Columbus Marathon and the Boston Sci-Fi Marathon, for decades, they have tried to obtain a 35 millimeter print. From what I heard, and this is possibly slightly apocryphal, back, let's say, in the mid-90s, I think the American Cinematheque in L.A. tried to do a Kinji Fukasaku retrospective, because he's a pretty prolific director, even outside of pure science fiction fare like this.
Yeah.
And even they couldn't find a 35 millimeter print. And
you realize somebody's going to get on online. They'll be like, I heard on the Art Bell Show
In
1995 that there's this print of the green slime being held in Area 51.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. And it's, and you know, the way that luck runs, sometime this fall, someone will come forward and say, oh, I have a print. Because for years...
You should have called me.
Well, yeah, for years we had Logan's Run. Yeah. Was the great white whale of the sci-fi marathon before this, because, you know, for the longest time, the official word was all the prints have been junked. And then eventually, through luck, essentially, we were able to obtain a print of that. Green Slime, we tried, but there's really, I mean, amongst all the marathon films people have wanted to get, this is probably the one where there seemingly have been no good avenues for a 35 millimeter full scope print. Now there are 16 millimeter pan scan prints, but you don't want to do that.
No,
for this.
I'd rather have a Blu-ray than a pan and scan.
Yeah. So Green Slime's on DVD,
yeah,
because that's the only copy available that you could get for proper theatrical presentation. Is it optimal? Probably not.
But actually, this is a better option than we had 10 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say this. I mean, Warner Brothers, for their archive collection, did the re-release of the DVD. And it looks nice.
Mm-hmm.
It looks really nice. And if you have to rely on that in this day and age, I mean, it's a nice option to have if you can't find any other way. And really, ultimately, and I don't want to come across as a Philistine against 35 millimeter, because I'll beat the drum all day long for that. If you can't get Green Slime at all, ever, if you don't think you're going to get it ever in 35 millimeter in full scope, show it in the best possible form. It's about the audience.
Yeah.
Ultimately, that's what it is. I mean, there are other films.
These kind of movies play well in front of an audience.
Yeah.
So it's kind of worth seeing, because a lot of people haven't seen it.
Because, you know, being a purist about it is great. And seeing Logan's Run in 35 millimeter, even though it had been available on DVD for a while, that was great.
Yeah.
That was like the highlight of some people's marathon going existence, because the print was really nice. And it was like the realization of all these hopes and dreams and fantasies for years. But ultimately, if we had never found that, and there had only been a Blu-ray of Logan's Run, and you finally thought, hey, at some point, it's either show it or don't show it.
Well, and it's also...
It would have been okay.
I love 35. I do.
Yeah.
But sometimes a 35 print, to use a horror marathon example, probably would have preferred a Blu-ray of Pit and the Pendulum over...
Oh, well, we would have preferred the 35 millimeter print we had booked, too.
That's true. That's right.
For those of you who don't know what he's talking about at the horror marathon... we had booked Vincent Price in The Pit and the Pendulum from 1961 or 62. Mm-hmm. Had it confirmed for a while, and the print fell through.
Uh-huh.
And we were a little distraught. So a week beforehand, we get the news, and we're able to secure a private print that the studio let us use. Mm-hmm. But we had really no concept of what the print would be like till it got there. The print gets there. I look at the cans for it, and there's a mailing label on the cans that says Drexel Theater, and all of a sudden I put two and two together and realize, wait a minute, this is probably the Pit and the Pendulum print that played in 1989 at the second Night of the Living Drexel 24-hour horror marathon.
This looks familiar.
And it looked it, because it was pretty faded and pink. Now, did the film still go over well? Did people enjoy it?
Oh, it was great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it was
best part was that afterwards, showing the trailer for it, people were like, what the hell?
In gorgeous Technicolor, yeah.
It looks amazing.
This is what you were supposed to see. But you always run the risk of that, and it's tough. And I think... Even sometimes, for a 35 print that's older, if it has the color, even if it's a little scratchy and everything, there's a certain appeal to that. Yeah. And you kind of know this has been used.
It's like grindhouse.
Yeah, I mean, digital clarity, it's great for certain things. But, you know, like vinyl and any kind of analog technology, it's great in its own way, because you know there's a physical presence to that.
Yeah.
Battle Royale Green Slime, both on video, but both well worth seeing in their own way, because of just what they are. And I've never seen Green Slime. I've been waiting for this day, so I can't wait.
But everything else, 35 millimeter, right? Because
according to the list I have,
physical presence.
Yes.
We've got They Live.
As of right now, They Live, yeah. Another great one that somehow is never shown at a science fiction marathon in Columbus.
What's great about that is there's like a period, there's a scene in the film that you could literally take a nap in.
Is that the longest fight in the world?
The longest hand-to-hand fight. Which is terribly, it's not like The Matrix or anything.
No. But it's Keith David and Roddy Piper. Come on.
It's a lot of man love going on in that scene.
You just want to imagine Keith David's voice on a History Channel documentary saying, "This is Keith David, and I was in the longest hand-to-hand fight in film history with Roddy Piper."
Now that's going to be 35 mil.
Yeah, that should be really nice.
Do we all get glasses that'll turn people into...
Oh, I can only hope. Yeah. No. Maybe in our fantasies. Maybe. In someone's fantasies.
And then there's also Brainstorm.
Yeah, Brainstorm.
Here come the boobs.
Oh, my God.
There's boobs in this. This changed my life when I was a child.
Wow, really?
Well, because there's boobs in it.
Yeah, that says a lot, actually.
It's literally... a like 3 second shot.
I was gonna say, now you're gonna sell this to the anyone who
shot.
Hasn't seen this says, "Oh, nudity fest."
And I was like 12 when this came out, and I saw it, and I'm like, "That's the scene I remember." And a chimpanzee eating peanut butter.
Yes. I saw Brainstorm recently for the first time in about 10 years, and it's such a fun film because, in its own way, by what, 1981, 82 standards, it's very revolutionary, the technology it's talking about. Now, some of it can seem a little dated, although really it's interesting to look back at how they intentionally made some of like the helmet that Christopher Walken wears to make it clunky, to make it something where it's not sleek, where it's like someone tinkering with a concept and trying to put it together. And, you know, it's not 70 millimeter, it's not, you know, the incredible... you know, enveloping sense of those Brainstorm sequences you would get with that. But in 35, it's still really cool.
I'm looking forward to it. It's been a long time since I've seen it.
And, you know, Christopher Walken in his prime is one of the highlights from when I saw it recently.
And Natalie Wood, in her last official film.
Yeah. I mean, one of the highlights from when I saw it recently was the crowd getting into every time Walken was in an argument with Natalie Wood and they kept saying, "Go to hell." And Walken would say, "No, you go to hell." And then it was, "You know, you go to hell. No, you go to hell." And that was like the callback for a long time after that, was people saying, "No, you go to hell." No.
Seating the audience already.
Oh, yeah, please.
Some more classic ones coming up. We've got Reptilicus.
Reptilicus, yeah. Another one I haven't actually seen, so all I can do is give it the general giant lizard mayhem 1961 B-movie appeal.
It's Danish, or does it just have the Danish magic?
From what I can gather, obviously I have not done my homework.
Is it a Danish lizard?
It is the Danish military.
That's what it says in the press release.
Should I talk
to the person who wrote this thing?
I feel like I'm not actually the spokesman. That the spokesman got caught on the way here, and then he called me and said, "Hey, come in and talk about the marathon." But it's hard for me too, because even with the horror marathon, sometimes there'll be films like that where I haven't seen. We'll book them knowing one of us or both of us haven't seen them. So when I come in to talk about it, all I can say is, "Well, it looked good. I hope it's great." Yeah.
It looks like a great...
It's got a big lizard.
It's perfect for the marathon.
How can you go wrong?
And then there's The Creeping Unknown, also known as The Quartermass Experiment.
Yeah.
British sci-fi.
The first of the semi-legendary Quartermass films from Great Britain. Creeping Unknown, which was followed by Quartermass 2, also known as Enemy from Space, which was followed by... the third film, which in America was called 5 Million Years to Earth, which is actually shown at, what, I think two of the marathons previously.
Has it?
Yeah, it's
the one... I must
have
missed those. There's a handful I've missed.
It's the one where I've fallen asleep both times when it's played, so I'm not a good judge. But they do a excavation of the underground in London, and they find a relic of a spaceship, and it's like aliens were here a long time ago, and they try to take over or something like that. But this is the first one, and I've never seen Creeping Unknown, but it has a really good reputation as being pretty classy and well done and well written, and we need more classiness, I guess, in this lineup.
No, we don't. Speaking of British sci-fi, something I'd love to see at a marathon, just, you know, so you could use your influence that means nothing.
My amazing influence. Yes. Yeah,
is Warlords of Atlantis. I'd love to see that.
Oh, wow. I've never seen that one, but
I've
always...
out of print in home video.
That's right. Yeah.
That would be neat to say. Yeah.
Kevin, if you keep dreaming, someday...
it'll be just like Logan's Run.
The Santa Claus of the marathon will come for you and do horrible things.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Whole rare exports.
Yes.
And now, Attack the Block. We've got some recent stuff. We've got Attack the Block, which is relatively recent.
Yeah, yeah.
Good movie. And then, of course, Source Code. Those both came out last year.
Yes.
And so those, now here's my question for those, are you even aware of what the schedule is going to be like? Are those going to be scheduled later, so in case people want to sleep?
That's a really good question.
Because it seems a little silly to like kick it off with Attack of the Block or something like that, or play it at three in the afternoon.
And I, you know, it's very difficult because at this point there are no confirmed premieres. Okay. And I know there's at least one or two more slots for something like that. So
we'll get to premieres in a second.
Yeah.
I'll grill you here in a minute.
Oh, grill away. I torture me as much as you want. I have no information to give.
There's not going to be a Serbian film in space.
Oh, wow. I can only dream.
I guess a joke.
Yeah, I guess I have to. Yeah, I know.
And there are people out there going, that would be awesome.
I do too, and people probably think the same thing. They're like, oh yeah, he supports us. He knows.
That
yeah.
would be the greatest film ever.
We know he tries to play it off. But
Jason
yeah.
X meets a Serbian film.
There you go. There you go. God, what an albatross around my neck. Yeah.
How are you going to top that next year? What are you going to
do?
Well,
you don't. I mean, that's if you show that. It's like, well, you can't really go much further. Well, so it makes anything else that's slightly twisted beneath that.
Snooki sex tape, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I couldn't even take that. Sorry. Snooki live birth footage, something like that.
But yeah, Attack the Block and Source Code, those are both recent films, but good films.
I'll say this much. The information that I received from the Boston Sci-Fi Marathon from this year, where they played Attack the Block, was that they played Attack the Block around, I think, 11 o'clock or midnight. Mm-hmm. And it went over gangbusters, apparently.
Yeah.
I mean, even with a crowd who, you know, and they get a sizable crowd up there. They have a huge theater. Even with that crowd that had, I guess, probably a third of the people who'd seen it, they were just rabid in their enthusiasm for the film. So I would assume, and there's where I get for assuming anything, I would assume it would play at a reasonable hour, but I don't want to talk for Bruce and
sure.
you know, get into what he thinks, because I have been proven wrong in the past several times. He and I went back and forth last year about the infamous Enteran, the robot, the greatest Bollywood action robot film of all time.
Oh my God, that is so awesome.
And
that was my favorite one of the, and my son's favorite part of the marathon.
I will go on the record as saying I was extremely skeptical that that could work going into it. And I think I even made an argument about where it should be placed, and I had to bow down to Bruce afterwards and say, you were right, that was phenomenal.
It was a great placement. I think at 5 a.m. it may have fizzled.
Yeah. But it's hard because, I mean, we ran into it with the horror marathon last year of, we booked a decent amount of the films way, way in advance. And when we finally got around to the actual lineup, what we filled in with was great, but scheduling it got really hard. And as a result, kicked off with Caligari.
Was it Caligari? Because I remember there were some technical issues with that, getting that started. I couldn't remember.
It eventually did kick off, yeah.
But it was Caligari, and then it was House of the Devil, right?
Well, Caligari, Pit in the Pendulum.
Was that second?
Okay. Yeah, House of the Devil. My original idea had been to take Gokay Body Snatcher from Hell, the incredibly like once-in-a-lifetime rare 35mm screening, and place it first. But then the more we thought about it, the more we thought, well, we want to get Caligari out of the way.
Caligari
because it's live music, and it's a technical setup. Yeah. And as a result, there was that domino effect, because we didn't want to show House of the Devil too late, because it's a pretty deliberately paced film, and we wanted to keep hitting the pendulum early. And then when the premieres came in, the big debate was, Serbian film again, where do we show that?
And we
tried.
Then everyone can just stretch out in their seats.
And we
lose half the audience.
And it was like, well, do you show it at 3 in the morning when everybody's asleep, or do you show it at a reasonable hour so people can leave if they don't want to see it?
Yeah.
And so then there was Midnight Sun, and the distributor wanted us to play that fairly at a reasonable hour. So all of a sudden, Gokay Body Snatcher from Hell gets shoved to like 4 a.m. in the schedule, which is not optimal, but it's what you deal with. You just at a certain point, you can plan as much as you want for this would be great in this slot, but fate intervenes sometimes, and life intervenes.
Speaking of, bizarre films, something slightly different. The last one on the list is Electroma.
Electroma,
Daft Punk's movie.
Daft Punk film. Can you tell which film I'm looking forward to seeing the most in this year's lineup?
I don't know.
Being
anything,
the ace masochist that I am.
I mean, I'm familiar with Daft Punk. But
from what I know,
is it just an art film?
It's
really
like 70-75 minutes.
Okay, well, that's
and
cool.
It's a lot of Daft Punk music, and it's kind of like a Daft Punk road trip featuring the members of Daft Punk.
Okay,
going across the country and having semi strange experiences. But it seems like it's a really sub avant garde kind of formalist piece of film. So it should be.
When I saw the what I suddenly was like, I'm like, it's going to be Primer with Daft Punk music.
All Primer really needed was more Daft Punk music.
I don't know what they
Shane Carruth is out there somewhere. You should really pitch that idea to him.
That's the lineup. Is there no more premiere news? Anything you want to tease? Anything we're trying to get? Are we going to get the work print of The Dark Knight Rises or anything?
Oh boy,
like that?
Sure, yeah.
In 70mm.
Quote me on that. It's in 70mm, and we don't even have a 70mm projector.
We're
but let me tell you,
over.
We'll find a way. We're going to bust the entire crowd out to a secret location where they'll have a 70mm work print, and Christian Bale will be there in person. And the ghost of Heath Ledger and Gary Oldman's daughter. And yeah, I wish I could tell you more. I'm assuming that probably in the next few weeks, the premiere situation will start to firm up.
The next few weeks?
It's a marathon.
It's less than 2 weeks away, yeah, Joe. Yeah. We'll know what the marathons are on May 21st.
I'm merely the spokesman for this whole revolution. I am not the architect of the revolution. My revolution happens in October when Bruce and I do the little horror.
Let's talk about that real quick.
Yeah.
Any news on the horror marathon coming up?
The breaking news, the official date.
Serbian Film
and Space. I'll have you know, dear listener out there, that Kevin's son is here laughing along. So
he's so excited.
God bless that boy's black heart.
He was very
heart.
Excited we were doing this because he's very excited about this marathon.
Yeah.
There's no Rapture this year, so
no, unfortunately.
Okay.
Well, this could be the final horror marathon before the official 2012 end of the world?
The birth of Snooki's baby.
So please buy tickets to the horror marathon, too, and the sci-fi, because there might never be another one. The world's going to be gone by this time next year.
This is your last
Party it
you
up while we're still here.
Last year was your last chance.
This
no.
is it, folks. This
no
is
one
it.
Knows the date or time except for whenever we think it is.
Yeah. So the horror marathon.
Yes.
Yeah. The semi-breaking news is that the official date will be October 20th and 21st this fall. So we have that down.
Yes. Mark your
More
calendars.
Information to come in the weeks ahead. If any of you were at Sci-Fi last year, I'm sorry, Science Fiction Marathon. The 29th annual or the 28th annual 24-hour Ohio Science Fiction Marathon. If you were there last year, you know that we did a little tease for the horror marathon. We had 3 or 4 titles booked and a date. We had a mini flyer. So I wouldn't be shocked if there was another one of those and maybe another tease of some potential titles to come.
My son's marking it on the calendar right
Liam
now.
Is so excited. He is like on his doing he's, a handstand right now. He's so excited.
He's sweating. He's writing it down. I think it's 24-hour horror movie marathon, Serbian film.
I think Liam is crying. He's so excited right now. 20th and the 21st in the fall.
Yes.
And, you know, if as with just about anything related to the marathon, if you visit the respective websites, that's scifimarathon.com or in the horror marathon's case, horrormarathon.com.
Wow, that's amazing.
You can, I know, we're just so up to date and savvy. And
that shows that nobody's doing sci-fi or horror marathons very much anymore.
Quite frankly, I was shocked that when we had those domains, no one else had taken them. Well, it's like Boston, they have Boston Sci... / or bostonsci-fi.com,
wow.
Which I thought they would have taken scifimarathon.com, but who knows? But yeah, if you go to either of those sites and they both link to the forum, you will get up-to-date information as soon as we have it.
Beautiful.
And you can look back at the archive section for flyers and pictures and other ephemera of marathons
past. Are we going to have a flyer for this?
For sci-fi?
Well, yeah.
Being the official spokesman for the revolution, I cannot comment officially on that. I haven't seen one yet. I'm assuming if there was going to be one, there would be one. I can promise you, and this is the sound of me pulling a gun out and aiming it in my foot, I can promise you there'll be a flyer for the horror marathon. If nothing else, because Bruce and I are a little sick, and we'd probably just pay for it out of our own pockets if it came to that.
Yeah.
But, as far as I know, the information for sci-fi is or science fiction is what it is right now and mainly available through the website. But it's still happening. And the fact that it's living, it's breathing, it was a little over 25 years ago that this whole thing started.
So we still are in that fake 29th.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was
it's not really the 29th.
1999 when the marathon entered the time warp. And
added like 6 years.
It was irrevocably changed and it went back and forth a bit for a while. And yeah, we're still kind of unstuck in time. What can I say? But next year, SF30.
The 29th annual 24-hour sci-fi movie.
Science fiction. Come on. Get it right here.
It's been going on for 25 years.
The great anachronism of all time. The goofy uncle that's in the corner with some films. Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to add about the lineup, about anything?
Oh, boy.
Want to give your personal phone number and email so people can ask you questions?
Sure, yeah. I almost had that once. We did an ad for a previous. I'm sorry.
There's a costume contest.
Oh, God. Liam officially is the new spokesman for the revolution because he knows how to plug the good stuff. Yeah, of course. Unless there's a weird change, the annual costume contest at the Science Fiction Marathon, which here's my plea.
Is there a cash prize, though?
I don't know what the prize is for science fiction. I know for horror we have a $100 first prize and other things like that.
That's what it used to be.
Did used to be.
Liam wants to
see now. You're making me look like I'm like well, for the horror marathon we have this, but when I'm not because I can't speak.
We
for
have
science
soda
fiction
at the
much.
Horror marathon.
Well, yeah,
not at this place. That's another question. Go on.
Here's my plea to the general listening audience, and that is that granted, back at the old Drexel North, you had 800 people.
Yeah.
So the costume contests were often a little richer and more diverse in the quality of the costumes and even in the quality of the acts. I mean, there were years when someone would win the costume contest with no actual costume, but they sold some concept well. There was, the guys who got up and said, oh, we're the extras who die at the beginning of the film.
Yeah.
And then the next round was, well, we're the extras who die in the middle of the film.
Yeah.
And then we're the guys who die at the end of the film. And it was great. And the audience loved it because they sold it.
Yeah.
My plea to people would be, the costume contest is probably one of the more fun and easy parts of the marathon to participate in.
Yeah.
And it seems like for years now that the participation's kind of fluctuated a bit. So if you do nothing else, if you can come in a costume, if you can show up with a costume, if you can have something, and just, it helps to kind of nudge the event along as you're going along. And it makes for a really fun time. It's much more fun than when we have three people standing up there who obviously put a lot of time into their costumes, and there are some great ones, as opposed to having 15 people. And it
Can
adds,
I cover myself in green body paint and put on purple shorts and be the Hulk?
Do whatever you want to. Okay. Wait, doesn't the Hulk wear tan pants now? Come on.
Does he not? Well, I don't know.
The official Hulk action figure has tan pants,
Well, he has purple pants.
There's your factoid for the day. How you like that?
Yeah,
yeah.
The blood circulation is a problem.
If that's going to sell more tickets, Kevin,
I don't think
live,
it's going to sell
green,
more tickets.
Shirtless, torn pants. Sure, go ahead.
Hulk smash.
What was that? Was that the...
I don't know. That was like the Hulk Sean Connery impression.
Hulk smash.
Hulk smash.
Time for
shaking,
some smashing
stirred,
good time.
Please.
Yeah. It has been my dream for a long time to dress up as Connery from Zardoz, so one of these years...
You'll get those seven people in the audience like, be like, I know what he's doing.
Oh, thank God. Finally, Zardoz.
I could be the giant head.
Yeah, you could. Yeah. You do have a pretty big head.
I have a roast of a head. Yes. The other question I have, this is one that I forgot to ask, and I apologize. Food. What's going? Do you know what's going on with that? Because the Radio Cafe is no more. Correct?
That's a really good question, and I don't know.
Because I don't think I can handle just popcorn and hot dogs at 4 a.m.
Well, I'm going to default again to my basic assumption that there'll be an expanded concession stand. There usually is. I don't think there's ever been a marathon anywhere where they've just kept popcorn, candy, and that's it.
Yeah.
At least in the modern era. Let's say
I'm just. Because the whole thing is this lineup's a great lineup. It's a fantastic lineup, and the stuff that I want to see, and my son wants to see, so we don't want to leave. It's not like the year that you played The Host, and I'd already seen that at a horror marathon, and that's when I went and got dinner.
Yeah.
So I could be like, I can check out during that, but there's nothing here that I really want to check out during, and if it would be, maybe the Attack the Block, because I've already seen that, but really, I want to see everything. It makes a difference to say, because there's places to eat in Bexley.
Yeah.
But, it's even an expanded concession stand, it's nice to have some sandwiches or something like that. That was what was so great about the Radio Cafe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, most definitely. I'm not sure. I mean, if anyone out there wants to know, I'm assuming give the Drexel a call.
Okay.
See what they're planning. I like I said, I have to assume that they're going to have something more than just the standard fare. But I'm starting to sound like a guy who got pulled off the street who knows nothing about like science fiction marathon. Here's a script you can read. Just fill in some blanks.
You're walking by the magical studio in the sky, and I'm like, hey, that guy might be able to answer some questions.
Yeah, it's more truth to that than you know.
Okay. So
anything else?
I think that's it.
Liam, anything else?
Is there anything you want to know? He wanted to know about the costume.
Watch out for Liam because he's dangerous and deadly and
he is entering
and
the
he
costume.
Is entering the costume
he
contest.
Knows what he's
gonna do. Ladies, look out. Yeah. Guys, look out.
And I'm going to be the Hulk.
Children, look out, please. And Kevin will be the Hulk in pants.
Purple pants.
Purple pants.
I didn't say pants. Maybe just something covering.
Purple
something.
Singlet, maybe, or
maybe a purple thong.
Purple underwear, purple thong. There's your final selling point. That's your big push at the end. Kevin Carr, Purple Thong.
All right. Well, I'll let you go, Joe. Thank you so much for being on the show again and talking about what's coming up for the 29th annual 24-hour Ohio Science Fiction Marathon.
Always a pleasure to beat the drum with you. Thank you.
All right.